We are grateful to him for blessing us with what I may say at this moment, a success over the last 3 days of our unified effort here. Our main speaker today and his topic is Sacred Life Connection. Brothers and sisters, I could spend many, many minutes telling you of the great accomplishments of Imam Mu'izzuddin Muhammad over the past 12 years, but I am sure that those of you that are here today for your, maybe for your first time, will get the message as we progress through the day of the tremendous change and transition and transformation that have taken place in the Muslim community of America. And it could not have been done without a blessing from Almighty God, as He always blesses people through people, by inspiring people among people, but in this case, inspiring Imam Mu'izzuddin Muhammad to bring us into the light of the religion as it is expressed and revealed in the Holy Quran by Almighty God, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as is lived in his life in the Sunnah. So without any further delay, I will introduce and present to all of you the American Muslim leader whose message is a message for all. As I say to you, thank you and welcome again. And I introduce to you our leader, Imam Mu'izzuddin Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. It's Allah's name, the gracious, the compassionate. Praying the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon the last messenger, Muhammad, and asking his blessings on this gathering and on this occasion. I hope that I can accomplish what I have here for this address. First of all, let me say that the support that has been given to this United Ta'aleem from the many Muslim communities is impressive, very impressive. I was not aware myself of the support, the extent of support that you've given to this United Ta'aleem, which makes us feel very good about the future for Muslims in the California West Coast area, and also for Muslims throughout the United States, because your support here will eventually reach us and encourage us in other locations to respond better and more to this need to come together as one community for the good of the Dawah in the United States and for the good of our separate communities as well. Let me begin by explaining the terms, the expression, sacred life connection. Really, we're referring to the precious life that Allah, our Creator, gave us, and the blessings of our religion, the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Universal Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. Present day concerns for excellence in the performance of one's work, one's profession, or one's private life when we relate what we are really addressing today as problems for performance, problems for behavior, and problems for performance. As Muslims, we see help, sufficient help, in the teachings of Islam for us, and also for other people if they will believe. I used to feel that I had to rely upon my own thoughts and my own knowledge from reading general kinds of materials on human problems and behavior. When I wanted to present a speech or an address on human behavior, problems of human behavior, and I used to work hard because the environment that I was formed in as a young man, encouraged that kind of curiosity and that kind of study. So I would spend a lot of time studying behavior, questioning behavior, and trying to come up with a presentation on the problems for the individual and matters of his own behavior. With more time and study given to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet, I've come to realize that the best help comes directly from Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. For all needs, the best help comes directly from Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. So really, I sometimes feel that I'm not yet where I want to go in terms of being prepared to talk about this subject that I've been grappling with now for about 40 years, for a long, long time. I still feel that there's a need to respect the general audience of the American people. By that I mean be aware, there's a need for me to be aware of their understanding, of their knowledge, and the fact that most of them are not acquainted with Quranic teachings and the life of our Prophet, peace and blessings be on him. So bear with me. I hope that I won't be too ambiguous or appear to be above what I am, or a philosopher of some kind. That's not where I'm at. But I feel that it's very necessary to deal with some problems, or to use and to use some terminology that you might think is the language of the philosophers, but it's not necessarily so. In our in the American society today, and not only here, but America is a good focus for what is happening, good and bad, everywhere. In the American society today, the quality of life is a matter of concern, while at the same time we know that this is perhaps still the richest country. Its institutions attract people from around the world. Its learning institutions attract people from around the world. Money, knowledge, and still the quality of life is threatened in America. Excellence is a real problem. People want to do things hurriedly. People want to do things without due discipline. It's a big problem. So that tells us we have to look somewhere else. We can't all, sometimes things develop in society that put hope in another place. Whereas hope has been, until this time of deterioration in the quality of life for Americans, hope has been in the fine institutions of the American people, in the fine leaders of the American people. But now, hope must be found somewhere else. For Muslims, we know where the rescue is. It's in Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's where our rescue is. We know. But for the general American people, for the general community of American people, if we are to feel a part of them, if we are to share our identity with them, I'm speaking now mainly to Native American Muslims here, if we are to share that identity, common identity with American people as an American, and to feel a responsibility to make our contribution to a solution for this problem of lost values and weakened performance on a part of the citizens of this country, then we have to also try to translate what is good for Muslims so it can be imparted also to non-Muslims. Now, we can come straight from Quran and Sunnah. That's one way. But when we do that, we miss a big audience, because there's only a few people, a few American Christians and others, that will have patience with us coming straight from Quran and Sunnah, unless they are doing it as researchers or students. They'll be afraid that we are trying to convert them. They'll be afraid that we are trying to make them all Muslim, when some of us may not have that at all in our hearts as a goal. We might simply be trying to share with our fellow believer in God the blessings of our religion that is needed in their life in this time of decadence. Getting back to what I mentioned now just a few minutes ago, on knowledge of the self and human behavior, questions of human behavior and how to how to develop a speech, how to present a talk on that. And the problem for me of relying too much on myself and on the textbooks and books of authors, scholars, the scholarly authors, and not going as I should have been going to Quran and Sunnah. I came to see that really Quran gives us, in the best way, teachings on self, the problems of self, the nature of self, and the tendencies in self and in behavior, given certain circumstances, that make trouble for us, unseat the government of self, destroys the government of self, deprives us of a good life. In the Quran, Allah Most High says that He has created the human being in the most respectable mold, in the most excellent mold. And Allah says, He is blessed who spins on his own soul. He is successful who spins on his own soul. And he is lost who discredits his own soul, who disrespects his own soul, who debases his own soul. So I can reason from that Allah intends for us to be aware of ourselves, how we are constituted, how we are constituted. What is possible for us in the way of excellence, and what is possible for us in the way of deterioration and decay, trouble, etc. And in this day and time, given the problems for personal performance, for human behavior in this environment of America, Muslim community must have leaders that will turn to Quran and the Sunnah for solutions. You know what, we know what the philosopher said, but it's more important what Allah said. And Allah says that everyone acts according to his own disposition. كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. Everyone acts according to his own disposition. And God also, Allah says, see, you may say, well, I know a philosopher said that said that. Well, that's okay about your philosopher who said that. That's okay. But his word does not go as far with me and with many people, with millions and millions and a billion of people, than the word of God, you see. So that's okay what your philosopher says. Allah Most High, He also says that His throne was established upon the water to test you as to who is best in conduct. And He also says that He created the death and the life also to test you regarding who among you is the best in conduct. So that tells us that something here. It tells us very clearly that certain circumstances for human being represent a test. Test the human behavior, challenges the human behavior. Certain environmental situations that you find yourself in, those situations are going to challenge your ability to perform in a civilized, excellent way. And if you don't have help coming from somewhere, you'll be in a world of trouble. The best help, I repeat, is coming from Allah, comes from the Quran, in the Quran, and comes from the Sunnah of the Prophet. Also, in these modern times,
We find a tendency in American society, especially, to imitate others. And no matter how much they sing to us, walk in no man's shadow, this problem of imitating others just keeps growing. So they need help from Quran and Sunnah. You just can't imitate anybody that impresses you. You'll be in a world of trouble. But God has given us the universal model of perfect human conduct, character, image, behavior, etc. That's the son of the prophet, peace and the blessing be upon him. So we should be protected by the son of the prophet. Some of us think a son of the prophet, oh, how did he eat? And he ate with his right hand and never eat with your left hand. And he said this before he went to bed. And he said this upon rising up. That's one aspect. But look and see what kind of spirit he had. In his life, in the report of his life, you can see clearly a unique spirit in the Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessing be upon him. You can see also his behavioral nature in the study of his life, in the study of the Sunnah. You can see very clearly his behavioral nature. So you should pattern yourself after his spirit also, after the universal character of Muhammad's spirit. The universal character of his behavior. You should pattern yourself after that also. But to know that, you're going to have to look closely. You're going to have to be intelligent. You're going to have to look for more than rituals. You're going to have to look for more than outer show. You have to look for more than just the simple things of his life. You're going to have to look into the depths of the essence of Muhammad to see what kind of spirit protected him. Why God made this man a model for all of us. Would he do it just because he ate with a certain hand, with the right hand? Would he do it just because he spoke nice words and he didn't tell lies? Would he do it? No, it must be more than that. The man had the spirit that God wants in us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the spirit that Allah wants in us. And not only that, he had the behavioral tendencies that Allah wants in us. He had the motivation that Allah wants in us. He had the aim that Allah wants in us. He had the idea of reality and where he is in it and what he should be doing in it that Allah wants in us. So you must go to the life of Prophet Muhammad for more than just those rituals, those simple traditions. Muhammad was chosen and inspired by God. And like the other prophets, his life reflects an appreciation for excellence. This world now needs a passion for excellence to save it, doesn't it? It needs a passion for excellence to save it. We know in the early history of this country, as an industrial world, an industrial society, the passion for excellence is what put it on the map, industrially. A passion for excellence. And no people get far without a passion for excellence. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the believer, when he does a work, he seeks to perfect it. When he does the work, he seeks to perfect it. If the Prophet tells us that, then we should feel obligated to seek excellence in everything we do. This is Quran also. The Prophet has obligated us by his own teachings to seek excellence in everything we do. There's one of the hadith by the Prophet is well known. He says, when you slaughter the animal, slaughter it with excellence. Don't do a sloppy job. See that your knife is very sharp so you don't do a sloppy job. So you cause the least suffering to the animal and the cut is nice. No sloppy job. So if he has given us that principle in that situation, then we should know that that principle is to be applied in every situation. The prophet wouldn't say be neat here and be sloppy there. So the Muslim artist, he should try for the best. Try to perfect his work. The Muslim scientist should perfect his work. The Muslim politician should perfect his work. Huh? All of us should be looking for excellence in our work. Excellence. To come up with excellence, that should be our motivation. We Muslims must be fired up with a passion for excellence. And it should start right in the way you treat yourself. Don't brush your teeth like you don't care about them. Do the best job. Be proud of the job. When you finish brushing your teeth, you should feel good. Now, if we apply the same principle to the demand for respect from each other in our homes, husband for wife, wife for husband, parents for children, children for parents, children for each other, look how beautiful our lives will be. See, some of us have been struggling in the dark for the way to live the Muslim life. Oh, we say, oh, I don't know enough. Oh, I don't know enough. I wish I knew more about my religion so I could live it better. No, Allah has made it very easy for us. Allah says, and take as much of it as you can. He said, and do the best. And take the best of the religion. Huh? So the principle for our behavior, the principle for coming up with a good life and for our behavior is excellence. Is excellence. And let me tell you something. The message of excellence is even in the first words we hear when we wake up in the morning. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Look, that's a relative thing there. Allahu Akbar is relative. There is that is less, and there's that is better. Allahu Akbar, that there is that is great, and there's that is greater. Allahu Akbar. Okay, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the better. So you should be the better. Huh? Yes, you should be the better. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the better. Allah is the more important. Now we know the first requirement is that we understand that our attention is called to recognize God as being more important than anything else. So get up from the sleep. If the bed is important to you, get up from the bed. Allah is more important. Yes. Yes. So whatever. So we know what the first message is. Allah is more important. But there's another message. The messages never stop coming. They are endless. There's another message. It's a philosophical one. It's a philosophical one. Never choose the inferior, but choose the superior. Never aim for the lesser, but for the greater. Woo! Buddy, that ain't good for you. I'm telling you, ain't nothing good. Some of us worry about our situation. We say, oh, I wish I had enough knowledge, enough money to establish myself. It doesn't always work like that. You can have all the knowledge in the world and fail to establish yourself. You can have all the money in the world and fail to establish yourself. I was reading in a publication here very recently about how some people in Chicago wanted big in the sweepstakes. They said, well, the sweepstakes are over now, but they decided they'd tell us about how good the sweepstakes were when they were existing. So they gave one woman who received about $153,000, and she knew her troubles were over. So she went, and her and her husband, and she invested her $103,000 in the restaurant business. And 2 years later, she was right where she started. And she said, well, it was good while it lasted. Now, I'm sure some of you all would go to the Saudi Arabian embassy and say, give me $100,000. I think once you do that, you won't have to be bothered with me no more. I'll be a Muslim on my feet from then on. Not necessarily so. And there are many cases like that. In fact, this article that I read recited many cases, not just one. They gave at least 3 or 4 examples of people who hit it big but couldn't establish themselves. So don't think that money is the answer. Money is a help. Don't think that knowledge, science, wisdom is the answer. It's a help. The answer is putting yourself in the proper order. Put yourself in the proper order. Because, you know, if a bucket has holes in it, you keep pouring water in it. You ain't going to be able to carry the water nowhere. If you do, you won't be able to carry it for long. You've got a little distance to go. You're going to get there with an empty pail. Because the bucket has holes in it. Likewise, for your own situation. If you don't put yourself in a right situation, you can't expect too much in terms of success. It'll be short-lived. So let us rely upon Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and apply those teachings, apply the insight, not only the teachings, but we should get help from the more intellectually brilliant, intellectually curious persons in our community, studious persons in our community. We should get help from them to identify Quranic philosophical insights and pass them on to us so we can apply that to our life. The Muslim world must realize that it's in competition with democratic West. Whether you want to be or not, we're in competition with democratic West. And democratic West rely upon education, philosophical insight to save its society from decadence, from total ruin. Now, don't think America is not going to come out of this. God knows, I don't know. But from all indications, given their ability, given their resources, this is just a spell for them. This spell is going to pass. And they're going to retrieve what they've lost. They're going to restore what has been destroyed. They're going to bring again a sense of respect for long-established values back not only to the institutions, but to the American public. This country undergoes seasons of high life and low life. And while we're in a season of low life, don't think it's forever. The American people are no fools. We must prepare ourselves by using the best. I didn't come here to stay all day and night because I want to see you again. And I know if I talk a long time, you wait 2 years to invite me again. You know, as a curious person and a person with, I think I have almost fanatical belief in Allah and in His Messenger, peace be upon Him. Yeah, I'm close to being a fanatic. Sometimes I have to sober myself up. Yeah, I say, hey, you're getting drunk now, Wallace. I say, hey, sober up. You fall in love, and you're just reduced to nothing before the greatness of Allah and the greatness of the Sunnah of the Prophet. You're reduced to nothing, you know. You just seem to disappear. And when that happened, you're drunk. When you come back, you're drunk, you know, and you have to ask Allah to please give me my footing again. Yes. If Moses swooned, it ain't too hard for us to swoon if we see a little bit of what he saw. So I was thinking on the image of the Muslims in the eyes of the non-Christian world, of the non-Muslim world, the Christian world, and also in the eyes of the non-godly world. And I said to myself, I don't mean necessarily the criminal world. I said the non-godly world. See, on both sides, you have criminals. So I was thinking about it, and I said to myself, I imagine that the playful, silly-minded Americans, or people of the West, that come into a kind of shallow knowledge of what Muslims are, imagine that they write us off as something, a tale from Arabian Nights or something, you know. As I heard one Christian say, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. And then I said to myself, I said, but those educated, serious-minded, educated Americans, knowing the importance of OPEC and seeing the political developments in the Middle East and Africa and Asia, seeing the carriage of the Afghanistan freedom fighters, I'm sure that they have been motivated to take another look at Islam. We don't know about it, but I'm sure that privately they are taking another look at Islam. And many of them, I'm sure, are going to Crocs and Brentanos and the public library, Library of Congress, and they're trying to get some knowledge of Muslims. If they're not, then they're not what I think they are. And I think they're intelligent people. Yes. Now, I said to myself, if with my good, I'm a good high school graduate in terms of my formal education. I consider myself a real good high school graduate. You see, I'm not a college man, but by my own self-study, maybe I'm above average college man. Above average college man. Because the average college man in modern day America, well, he's about a 10th grader? That's because of the fallen level of excellence in this country. Yes, yeah. Not to criticize. Just to point to a fact. That's all. Yes, so I said to myself, now, if I would really look at the history that's available to me as a non-Muslim, I'm trying to put myself in a non-Muslim position. If I would look at the history that's available to me as a non-Muslim and see the great start given the Muslim people by Allah, the Quran, and his prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, and seeing how they had great examples in the companions and the immediate leaders that followed Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and how they were able to make achievements, make great achievements in the fields of learning and science and business, et cetera, art and everything, and impress the intellectuals of the Christian world, and in time proved to be the factor for igniting their intellect for a revival of the sciences in their world. Given all that, I said to myself, given all of that, and looking at the poor performance of Muslims in the world over the last 400 years or so, I would come to the conclusion, this would be my conclusion, that yes, God definitely inspired Muhammad the prophet. God was definitely, because, you know, if you have a little, just a little faith in you, you don't have to be a religious person, but if you just be a creature of faith, if you read the facts of Islam, you're going to be impressed so that you're going to come to the conclusion that no, it was impossible without a supreme phenomena, a phenomenon working on his behalf, working in for Muhammad, working for the Muslims, that's beyond the reach of the average human mortal, the mortal, the human being in his own human capacity. No, he could not do it without that outside factor, that higher factor, that higher help. So that would be the conclusion that you would come to. Then you would say, I imagine, like I feel that I would, what happened? What happened? Now, I have come up with many answers for what happened. In terms of industry, because actually the Muslims, look here, anytime they made the best swords, they also could make the best car. That same interest, that same discipline leads to the best car. Huh? That's metalwork. That's metalwork. That's industry. But they made the best swords. If they had the fastest transportation, and they did, The Arabian horses were the fastest transportation. Yes! They had the best transportation. They had the fastest transportation of that day and time. And they also could sail that in time. They proved to be best on the seas, huh? They proved to be best on the seas. So what happened? So I came to my conclusion. I said, well, when it comes to industry, don't think I'm picking on the white man. No, I admire him. I admire him for his great achievements in science and industry, etc. But the white man was then, and as a people, now, less evolved socially than we are. Then and now. The white man's social life, when I say social life, I'm talking about the beginning, the first base of social life. Family life, respect for members of the family, respect for neighbors, respect for members of the race, of his own race, and respect for members of other races. The white man has been behind us when it comes to that social life and evolution. And he still is behind us. If you take the Judaic Christian props from out from under the white man, he becomes a social savage. He becomes a social savage. He is capable of disgracing society more than anybody else. Now, I'm not picking on him. You know, revealing helps everybody. Now, I used to laugh at the behavior of blacks who were ignorant and didn't have religious principles protecting their life. But I got a job and finally got in a situation where I associated with whites of the same level. And what they were doing, man, made me afraid. One of them said, why don't you come to our house tonight? Woo! I wanted to be nice and wanted to keep that friendship on the job because I was in the huge, what they call the Hoosie state area, you know. And back then, they'd lynch you in Chicago. So I was trying to keep that friendship, but I just had to tell them, like, I found an excuse. I said, you all can get by with that, but I can't. I said, my wife would kill me.